Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oft my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Come on, you.
Just a minute, everyone. I've got problems again with this YouTube. It's not letting me click in because it's got a little white thing up here and I can't get rid of it. Just a minute, folks. Give me a minute.
Can't search. Create, test, view, inspect. You show me no way to get rid of it. Now show me a way to get rid of it. So, we're going to have to go without YouTube. We'll be on Blog Talk now. Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in Jesus' name. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we open your word, we ask the Holy Spirit to come forward to bring us, Father, things that you would have each one of us to receive this evening, to help us along the way to grow stronger in faith and in works, Father. I be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. All right. We're going to be back in Matthew tonight again. And we're going to be in chapter 9. Give you just a minute to get there. All right. This morning we went through chapter 8. And we've seen where the Lord, he healed a leper. He healed a centurion's servant. He healed Peter's mother-in-law for the fever that she had just by touch. Then we got into some tests of discipline, discipleship. Jesus quite the storm. And we ended up closing out chapter 8 of Jesus casting all them demons out. Two men at the tomb. Two men had enough demons to run a whole herd of swine into the water and drown. And yet, he cured them, but then we found out also that because of that, there was those big boys of the city wanted him gone. So they asked him to leave. To leave their coast. Now here in chapter 9, we're going to be getting back in to Jesus' ministry. And what I want you to notice is as we go through these, all these things that he is doing, and yet we are told that all that believe in him, those things he was doing, we would do, and greater than they would we do. How could we do even the things he done, let alone greater things? Because you see, it's not you and I that's doing it. But it's you and I walking close with him, with our trust and our faith in him, and having him use us as a channel and a contact to reach out through us to those today that are in need. Now, here in verse 1, it tells us, and he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That was his way of curing this man. But you see, they were those standing watching him. They just had to come up with something that they could hold against him. That's like you and I today. Satan will use everything he can use to drag you and I down. He'll use each other. He'll turn you against me and me against you if we allow it. Kenny and I were talking today. Satan has been trying for a long time to break Kenny and I apart. He he tells Kenny to leave me alone and all of this stuff. Well, you see, by the same token, he comes to me with you guys. And he tells me, he's told me, I don't know how many times today, he's told me, you see, they're not here. They don't want to hear you. They don't like what you're teaching. They don't want to hear you. Why don't you just quit? Why don't you close your ministry down and you can go out here and go to another church? I put up with that all the time. But see, I know where it's coming from. And he's not going to get his way. I'm not going to close this ministry down. He's going to have to listen to me and until the good Lord takes me home. If they ain't nobody hears me but him, he's going to hear it. Because I'm not going to quit. But see, he uses things that way to pull us away from God. Right now, I know, listen to me, these three of you guys, listen to me, Kenny and Denny is on the internet listening, and yet, he says, they don't want to hear you. But you see, we can't let him get away with it, because if he ever got done what he's trying to do and got me to close the ministry, I've got two on here with me that are our ministers that would no longer be in the ministry. Because if I close this ministry down, they've got no backing. See what I'm saying? If he can get one of these things, he can get us all. It ain't going to work. And then Kenny, we talk about it. And actually, we can laugh about it. Because we both know what it is. Kenny knows when he's throwing things at Kenny about me, Kenny knows better. And he knows who it is. He knows it's Satan doing. And just like I know it's Satan, they're throwing all this at me. And he ain't strong enough to stand against the Lord Jesus Christ. And we that are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ need to be about his work. Now, he's come to his own city. And here in verse 2, we found that they brought a sick man. And he told him, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. They're saying he is a blasphemer. This word blessing, there are a lot of people who don't know what that word means. But that word means to curse, to reject, and to deny. And they're claiming that's what he is because he told that man, your sins are forgiven. And they don't want to admit who he is. They don't want to admit that he is the Son of the Living God. Now they're accusing him of blaspheming. Verse 4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said. You see, he knows every thought we have. He knows their thoughts. He says, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. He said, which would be the easiest? Really, it doesn't matter. It's not that much to say about either way. But he goes on to explain, but that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. This is so you know I've got the power to forgive sins. That's what he's telling them. Now, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. There's no hesitation there, then immediately it's done. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. This is Matthew that wrote this gospel. He's just now calling him as his disciples. He's called several up to this point. He hasn't got them all, not even yet. Now he's called Matthew. And Matthew actually was a tax collector. That's why he was sitting at the receipts of custom. Because in that day and time, they were the ones to collect the taxes. Now, 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? See, anything he does in their eyes is not right. So they are bound, determined to find some reason to get rid of him. And we are moving into a time to where they're going to be the same way with you and I, just because we're followers. You don't have to be, you're not going to have to be a preacher or nothing that way. It's just as if you are one that will follow him, that you believe in him. They're going to be standing against you. They already are, a whole lot of them out there. They took the Lord Jesus Christ out of every place he was in. And where was the first place they took Jesus from us? Huh? School. That's right, school. Because they wanted him away from our children first. And then they took him out of all of our public places. And they took him out of our prayers. Publicly, you're not supposed to pray a prayer and end your prayer in Jesus' name. They took him away from all of our military chaplains. They're not allowed to end their prayers in Jesus' name. That could be a lot of trouble. Right today. Over. Now, They want to know why he's eating Republicans and sinners. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And he's going to lead them on, let them know what that means. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He's letting them know why he's here. I'm not here after the righteous, because he's already got them. He said, I'm here to call the sinner to repentance and make a way for him. You see, Jesus walked this earth just like you and I, in the flesh. He was flesh, blood. His body was just like ours. Flesh, blood, and water. Now, on the day that John baptized him, God filled him with his Holy Spirit. That's why he can do all these things. You see, his ministry didn't start until he was 30 years old. And then his ministry lasted 3.5 years before he was crucified and went back to heaven. Now here in 14, they've got another question for him that's odd to a lot of people today. Then came to him the disciples of John saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? He says, why is it we have to fast, but they don't have to? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the day will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. When he went back to heaven, that's when you and I should have periods of fasting. And we are to fast. And there are a lot of things in our lives, just as his disciples. He sent them out to do some things. They couldn't get it done. When they got back, those that they was to do this work with was there also and told Jesus, said, your disciples couldn't do it, and asked Jesus to do it. And Jesus told him, he said, these things only come by fasting and prayer. You see, fasting and prayer goes together. When you fast and pray. Now, you can fast for a day. You can fast for a couple of days. You can fast for a week. You can have a 21-day fast. Jesus fasted 40 days. I don't know how many could do that today, 40 days without food. But anyway, there are things that we should be doing that we have not been doing. And I'm talking about as individuals. not even as a group, but as a ministry, we do need to be coming together and sharing with each other. We are to have that close friendship and fellowship with each other. That's why we have the church. And that's what God tells us. And that was like when the covert started. We had 97% of our churches obeyed man rather than God, because man told them to close the church. They left the beer joints open and the liquor stores because they said they were essential, but the church wasn't essential, and they told them to close the doors, and they did it. There was a few that was like me that was hard-headed enough to stay open, but it was just a few. You see, the Word of God tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, as we're going through this, we're going to read several times as we go, where Jesus is letting you and I know that we are to obey God rather than man. Now, verse 16, no man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse, because it's stronger. Now, 17, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to become new creatures. And we are to grow to the extent that not only have we become believers in Him, but we have grown through to where God has justified us, has sanctified us, made us holy. And we are even in a way in a new body. Because this body is to be cleaned up. To be clean. It's not to have sin in it. It's to be clean. 18. While he speak these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. This is what you call faith. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. 20, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, and touched the hem of his garment. Now here is where it pays for us to know some about the Jewish people and their ways that God has gave them. this garment they're talking about is what the Jewish people call a prayer shawl. This shawl is made to where they wear it around their shoulders, and when they go to pray, they put that up over their head. That becomes their closet that he tells them in the scripture to go into and shut the door. Now, it is also on the bottom edges of it is fringes with 69 knots. And there's a reason for that. But also, on each corner of it, which is four corners, is a longer one that is known as the wing. And that's what she touched. Now, she came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. You see, it's her faith. Her faith is what will do the work. She didn't have to touch him. She wasn't asking him to say a thing or for him to touch her. She said, all I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. And I shall be, 22. But Jesus turned himself about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. It was her faith. And that's what it takes for you and I today, is faith to receive anything from Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all given to you and I a little now over 2,000 years ago at the cross. And the only reason we don't have it is because we're not putting our faith in him and his promise. Because anything that is wrong with you and I, we can find a promise from God in his word to take care of that. Just as he told us, he says, by his stripes you are healed. It's already given. It was given there at the cross. We don't have to wait for him to come down here to do it, which is what a lot of people pray for. Lord, come and heal me. He gave you the healing. You're not taking it because you're not using your faith. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the ministerial and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place. For the maid is not dead, but sleeping. While he was on his way to this man's house that had told him his daughter was dead, he done this other healing, or this other healing took place with this woman with the issue of blood. Now he's there. And he said, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed him to scorn, laughing at him. That's like you coming here some evening, James. You say, you know, Pastor, I'm sick today. I can't move. I just can't do nothing. I need you to lay your hands on me and pray for me, and I'll be healed. There could be a crowd here that would last you out the front door. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. Now, there's others that will know about things that happen this way. Because most people will tell of it, and especially those that it happens to. Now, there are some that are healed of certain things, and yet they will never tell no one, because they may be one that is not really a believer, and yet God has healed them to let them know his power is still at work today, and they still will not let no one know about it because they still have not accepted him. They can end up in a lot worse shape than they was from that. Now, 27. And when Jesus departed thence, when he departed from healing this man's daughter, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" What's he asking them? Do you really believe this? You see, because that faith's got to be there. And they said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Yeah, we believe it. 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And according unto what? Their faith. Well, how much faith they have. And their eyes were opened. They must have had pretty good faith. Their eyes are already open. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But he knows they're going to go tell them about it. But he tells them that every now and then. He'll tell someone, don't tell anybody about this, because he knows that when they do, he's going to wind up with a multitude on him. Now, But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. They were telling everybody. He knew they'd go to, because he knows all things. Now, 32. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." They were strictly amazed, and they marveled. 34. But the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devil." Now they're saying he's casting out devils by the devil himself, the prince of them. Jesus went about all the city and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And that's exactly what he's asking of the ministries today. But he's not getting much out of them done. Now, Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Listen to that verse. The harvest truly is the laborers is few. And we got out here today, there is a harvest like never before out there way. And we have less laborers today than we've ever had before that is capable of reaching them out there. Now, 38, we'll be closing. We'll be finished with chapter 9. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray. And we all need to be praying that today. Lord, send us those that are willing to go out and work in the harvest field to help bring them in to where they can hear the word of God, the true word of God. Because we have those out there that are seeking for something that they don't have, yet they don't know really what it is, and they can be led straight out there to places that are teaching contrary to the truth of God's word. And we see them all around us, these places. They're all around us. And as we're going through now, we're going to be hitting it. I told you about it before. And we will be seeing it. God tells us to build no walls to keep men away. But that's exactly what we did in the church world. We don't call them walls. We call them denominations. I can't associate with you because you don't belong to my denomination. That's building walls. We're told not to do it. There is only one church. That's his church. Now you can put a name on a church. But if you notice, when they begin to build the churches, they didn't build denominational churches. They named their churches after the place where they were sitting. That's why they was writing to the, well, take the seven churches of Revelation. Was the name of the place where the church sat. 1 Corinthians was sent to the church at Corinth. Visions. Letter was sent to the church of Ephesus. You see, those churches carried the name of the place. They wasn't made up names to keep others out and to keep them away from what you believe. Because we need to be walking so close with the Lord Jesus that we want them to follow us. As Paul told them, use me as an example. If you use me as an example, you'll make it to heaven. That's what Paul was telling them. And that's what we need to be. Because if they can't follow you and make heaven their home, then you ain't going to make it either. And that's just the way it is. That is the gospel. That is the word of God. And we have, there's too many out there. And right now, here in the last few months, we have had more churches in trouble than we had ever had in years and years and years. And most of them, now, most of them here in Meade County was because they had women pastors. We've got one, two, three, four, five already closed because of women pastors. And we've got one, two more that I know of that are on the verge of closing. They've got women pastors too. God told them not to do it. You see, they didn't. And if you really watch on TV and you'll watch the Christian programming, most of these preachers that are on there that's supposed to be pastoring big churches pastor that church by themselves. Their wife is also a pastor of that church. That's why you're not seeing anything done. But they're growing because they're not teaching the Word of God. They're tickling ears. They're saying what people want to hear. And they're lost. We need men that will stand up, speak boldly, and speak the truth of God's Word. And live it. You don't just speak it. You don't just teach it. You've got to live it. But you won't be teaching it long. Then God won't let you. All right. Let's go to the Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father. Father, as we close your word this evening, we thank you for your word, Father, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because, Father, we know that without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Holy Spirit, we are lost. And that we can do nothing on our own. And Father, we give you praise. Praise your holy name. And we give you thanks for the things that you've given to us, Father, to help us to grow strong in faith, strong in life, and that you hold us each and every day in the hollow of your hand to keep us from falling, Father. And we ask you now, use us in great and mighty ways, reaching out to this lost and dying world that we live in today. Help us, Father, in all these things. Father, we pray for Israel and Jerusalem. We pray for peace for them, Father. Your word tells us to, and we do, because, Father, without thy people, Israel, we would not have the truth of your word today, Father, because it was of them that was the disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was of them that the Holy Spirit used to record your holy word that we have today. And it was through them, Father, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, to touch us, to give us, Father, the things that we need in order to live this life here on earth and to live it abundantly, to do your work and make heaven our home for eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for those that will hear this message tonight, wherever they are, we know the distance and time is nothing when it comes to the work of Almighty God. Father, that sickness is healed in the name and by the stripes of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are healed. Guide each one of us through the night. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. Let us rest through the night, Father. And raise to meet another day, Father. According to your word. To walk in your will and your way. To come together in the morning at 10 a.m. when we can be back into your word and have the fellowship of brothers in the Lord Jesus Christ in your family. Now, Father, we know you love us. We love you. And Father, we love mankind. This, Father, is my prayer tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Have a great night, everyone. Walk with God and he'll walk with you. Good night, all.